Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Are you ready for the Word today? Come on, I'm going to need some feedback from you today. Okay, good. You guys are excited. I am too. I'm excited to preach this word that the Lord has put on my heart. Last week, I'm going to back up just for a second. Last week, we talked about the results of the rain. That's something that God spoke to me before we ever started the church back in 2020 in the month of March. We had a night of worship and word at the DeKalb Theater, and it was absolutely amazing that night. Some of you guys were there. We rented out the DeKalb Theater, and that place seats like over 300 people, and it was standing room only. God really moved. It was an awesome time. We had a great time in the presence of the Lord, but he gave me a word that I believe was prophetic for where we were going as a church, what we were going to see, and it was called Results of the Rain, and it was out of the book of Deuteronomy and out of Joel chapter 2, where God says, I've given you faithfully the former rain, and I will give you the former rain and the latter rain that it may cause increase, and you will get new wine and grain and oil. And so we talked about and broke down what those things are metaphorically for us as the body of Christ today. In the new covenant, as God's Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts chapter 2, that was the fulfillment. And so we get to step into these things spiritually. Grain represents increase. New wine represents a new start. And the oil represents anointing on our life. And I believe that as God spoke that, that was to give us a vision for the victory that we're going to walk in. But I've come to find out that when God speaks something, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. How many of you guys have encountered that in your life before? God spoke something to you and it did not happen when you thought it was going to happen. You thought that, oh wow, I'm going to go on a mission trip, and you start looking for mission trips and it never happens, but then God will all of a sudden do something years later. In fact, the first word that I ever got, and we believe in prophetic words. I believe that God still speaks through people to people. And if you don't, then just start asking. If you haven't seen that yet, just start asking God, speak to me prophetically. I want to know. The first word I ever got was that I would go to Africa, and I would go on a mission trip to Africa. I'm 33 years old. I got that when I was like 9 years old. I've not been to Africa yet. Yet, guess what? That doesn't mean God's not going to do it. I just haven't been to Africa yet, okay? So God speaks something. Now, if someone comes to me in the near future and says, hey, I feel like that doesn't know me, doesn't know that, has never heard of that, and they say, hey, I feel like you're going to go to Africa. Guess what? I better start looking for tickets to Africa, because I know that God spoke it. When he speaks it again, he's about to do it, okay? So God spoke the results of the rain in 2020, and he brought it back up into my heart. And then as I've been praying and preparing the last 2 weeks for Sunday mornings, and I want you to know how serious I take this time. I really feel like this is important for our house, that what I say, it's not just something I found on Google or something that sounded good. I really try to ask God, what do you want me to say to your people? Because I believe you're God's people. You're not my people, okay? I might be the shepherd of this house, but you're not my sheep. You're not my people. You're God's people. In fact, it always bothers me when pastors say, I tell our people all the time. I'm like, who made you God? Who gave you ownership over those people? I am simply a watchman in the house of the Lord. I'm just trying to do what God tells me to do. I'm not God. I'm just someone he's put in position to try to help you, and that he can speak through me. And as I've been preparing, the Lord wants me to speak something that I've spoken to you before, which is not strange, because it's something that he had me do last week. I feel like he wants me to do it again. And so we're going to look at a word that I preached on our 1 year anniversary. So last week we talked about the results of the rain, which was preached before this church ever was birthed. And then today I want to talk to you. I want to preach the sermon that I preached on our 1 year anniversary in 2021 in the month of June. I told you earlier that when God speaks, he plants a seed of faith. And then when he speaks it again, he's about to make it happen. I want to show you, and some of you guys, maybe you're like, okay, you've said that a few times now, but I'm going to need some scriptural proof and reference for that. And you know what? That doesn't offend me at all, because anytime someone says something that God does, I want scriptural proof and reference as well. And if I don't, then I'm just hook, line, sinker. I'm going to get deceived. So I'm going to show you this in scripture, okay? God appears to Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12. He says, get out from your family, out from what's familiar to you, and go to a place that I will show you. So Abraham goes on a journey. He begins to travel. He leaves his family. His nephew Lot comes with him. Obviously, his wife comes with him. And they begin to travel. And then in Genesis chapter 15, God shows up to Abraham again. And he says to him this time, I will make your descendants as numerable as the sand and as numerable as the stars. I will give you offspring, Abraham. I will bless you. Through you shall come a child. So he promises that he will have a child. Now here's the incredible thing. That doesn't happen for 14 years. But God spoke it, and so often we think, well, God spoke it, so that means God's about to do it. No, God spoke it to get you ready, and you might not be ready yet, but he's preparing you in faith for what he's going to do in your life. So God speaks to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a child. And what does Abraham do? He does what we do a lot of times. He takes matters into his own hands. His wife Sarah says, I'm too old to have a baby, but I've got a servant and you can go into her and she can be your concubine and that will fulfill what God has promised to you. Since when does God need us to come up with the solution that he already promised that he will provide, right? But that's what we do so many times. And we want to look at Abraham and look at Sarah and be like, oh my goodness, they're so foolish. They're so weak in their faith. No, they're doing exactly what humans tend to do. It doesn't make it right, but I'm so glad that when God had men and women write the Bible, he didn't take out the parts where they messed it up. He left it in there so that we could see and go, okay, all right, we as humans mess it up, but if we trust God, he will make it right. So 14 years from the time that God speaks to Abraham until all of a sudden God shows up to Abraham again. Now, we don't see it as 14 years because we literally go one chapter or two chapters and we read it in the span of 5, 10, 15 minutes, but 14 years took place. Between Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, we get this time where Abraham is 99 years old. And when he's 99 years old, God shows up to him. 14 years after he has showed up to him and said, I'm going to give you a son. He's 99. And he says, he speaks it again. He says, you can go read this. We're not going to read all these passages because this isn't even my sermon. This is just giving you guys scriptural reference for what God is doing in our midst right now. So Genesis 15, he promises it. He shows up again in Genesis 17 and he says it again. Same thing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a son. And then, what I would assume is the next day, God shows up. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three men, three messengers show up at the tent of Abraham. And they begin to, Abraham says, go get some refreshments and let's serve these people. Well, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, she's over in the tent, and I imagine she's stirring, mixing something, or she's doing something to provide refreshments. And the angel says, Sarah's gonna have a baby. And Sarah laughs inside of herself. She laughs. And the man, he yells through the tent flap, why are you laughing in there? And she goes, I'm not laughing. And he's like, oh, no, you laughed. But I'll tell you what, we're going to come back this time next year and you're going to have a baby in your hands. Or by this time, not we're going to come back, but by this time next year, you're going to have a baby in your hands. It will be fulfilled. So here's what happened. God promised it 14 years ago. Then he showed up, he said it again, and it happened in 1 year's time. Okay? So here's what I'm saying to you today. Here we are 4 years in a journey as a church. In fact, I didn't point this out last week because I didn't even realize it until after I was on my way home. I was like, last week, that's how quickly my life goes. It feels like yesterday. When you have five children, everything just goes, you're just like, I don't know what, and you guys have understood this, like I'm terrible with scheduling stuff. Like I'm just really bad. And it's because like my life, I feel like just goes by so fast, which is incredible because time flies when you're having fun, right? So last week I realized, did you know that last week was 2 years we've been in the sanctuary? Last week was 2 years, Labor Day weekend, 2 years ago, we got into this sanctuary. And look at what God has done. Look at how faithful he's been, right? In fact, can you do me a favor? And don't do me a favor. Do God a favor. Stand to your feet and let's put our hands together and let's praise God for his faithfulness. Here we are 4 years as a church, 2 years in a building. I don't know about y'all, but when we were setting up and tearing down every week at Livingstone at the Coal and Iron Building at the auditorium, there were times when I was like, why? What are we doing? This is crazy. In fact, there was a time when the whole church was in my garage. We would come home from church on Sunday mornings and I would unload the trailer. Y'all can sit down. I would unload the trailer into my garage and I'd be like, why, God, why did you call us to plant a church and the whole church can fit inside of my garage? And why am I loading this trailer and unloading this trailer every weekend? See, sometimes there's that time between what God speaks and what God does. But when God speaks it again, it's going to happen. I believe God is speaking some things to us again today. And as I look back over 4 years, you know, things have changed. In fact, the face of the church has changed. People have changed. People have come. People have gone. I've changed. You've changed. That's okay. Change is good, okay? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. One thing stayed the same. You know what it is? God's faithful. God is faithful. He will do what he said he will do. In fact, if you want to follow along with a sermon note today, you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you and you can go to our website. There's a page with sermon notes and I'll stick to it somewhat and it'll at least give you some kind of parameter for what we're talking about. Or there's a PDF you can download on there. But I want to start in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is the word that I preached on our 1 year anniversary and it's titled Suddenly. There's a part 2 to this sermon. I don't know if we'll preach it next week or not, but I probably will, is what I'm feeling. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this, being confident of this very thing, meaning I'm sure of this. I'm certain of it. I'm not wavering. I'm not wondering. I'm not doubting. I'm not insecure about it. I'm confident. I'm sure of this one thing. Here's what I'm sure of. You can always be sure of this. If God starts something, God will finish it. Because this is what he says. I'm confident in you guys. Not I'm confident in me. I am confident of this, that he who begun a good work will be faithful to complete it even until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Paul is saying, it doesn't matter how long it takes, he will do it. I don't care if it's the second before Jesus comes back, he's gonna do it. If he promised it, he will not leave anything unfulfilled. His word, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, will not return to him void, but it will accomplish everything that he sets out to do. That's why Paul says, I'm so confident, I know for a fact, if God said it for you, if God said it for me, if God said it for this church, if God declared it, it's going to happen. He will be faithful to do it. Look at somebody today and say, he'll do it. He's going to do it. I want to declare that over your life today. I want to declare that over this church today. God will be faithful to complete whatever he started. The word complete in the Greek means accomplish. God will accomplish anything he sets out to do. I don't know about y'all, but there's been a lot of projects in my life I've set out to do, and I did not accomplish that project. I had great theories. I had great plans. I had great hopes. I'm going to do this, but it never followed through. God will accomplish everything. So many women are elbowing their husband right now. I told you, fix that door. I told you. You know, you've been saying, listen, I just fixed a toilet in our house the other day that had been broke for a long time. You know what it needed? A flapper. You know how long it took me to put the flapper in? 30 seconds. But you know what? I came out of that bathroom like Roto-Rooter himself, like announcing the bathroom is fixed, right? I thought I was Joey, right? Joey's been a master plumber for 40 years. I'm just like, don't worry, guys. Dad has taken care of it. You can now use your toilet again. It is fixed. Don't worry about paying me. It's okay, right? I don't know why, guys. Why do we do that? Why do we get so proud of ourselves when we fix this? Like, you put a $3 flapper on a toilet in 30 seconds. Like, great job. Okay, anyways. But God will accomplish whatever he sets out to do. He will do it. He will perfect it. So not only has God been faithful, but he will continue to be faithful. Not only has he done what he said he will do, he will continue to do what he has said and what he will still speak. Here's the cool thing. Not only did God speak something and he'll do what he spoke, he's still speaking and he's still faithful to do what he said and he'll be faithful to do what he is saying. He's so faithful. Here's what I want you, one thing I want you to get today. Anything that God starts, he completes. God doesn't leave anything unfinished. God's not in the business of starting a work, starting a church, starting something in your life. Some of you guys are like, I just feel like incomplete. I just don't feel like I've gotten there yet. Don't worry, God's got it. God, he's not gonna leave it incomplete. He's not gonna leave it unfinished. That's why Paul said, I'm confident about this thing. I'm sure about it. So he's the author of our faith, but you know what else he is? He's the perfecter. He finishes what he says that he will do. He doesn't start something that he does not plan to not only continue, but to improve. That's what I love about God. He doesn't just be like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. No, it gets better and it gets better and it gets better the more that you walk with God. Before we planted this church, and I know I'm talking a lot about the church, but listen, I don't do this all the time. If this is not your normal, church to come to, but I think most everybody here, this is your church. You guys know I don't just talk and preach the church all the time, because one time God spoke to me. I came off the stage at the auditorium. I went to the front row. I set my Bible and my iPad on the front row, and God said, be careful. And when God said, when the Holy Spirit speaks, be careful, if you have been walking with God for a while, like, the fear of God comes all over you, and you're like, oh my goodness, what have I done, right? He said, be careful to not preach your church more than you preach my kingdom. I don't ever want to be the person that I'm just, this isn't a brand, this isn't something that I'm building. But if you feel like this is your church home, this is your family, you need to know who we are and where we're going. So that's why, I'm going to get back to just teaching the Bible and practical life application. That's part of the job and the role of a pastor. But I also have to speak to where we are, where we've been, and where we're going sometimes. And so I want to share something with you. Before we ever planted this church in 2020 of June, God spoke to me through two trusted voices in my life. In fact, not only two trusted voices, two of the most trusted voices in my life. And they both said the same thing to me. They said, Spencer, when you plant the well in Fort Payne, it will grow explosively. They both said that to me, okay? And then not long after that, Madison and I went to a conference and someone was praying over us, another trusted voice in my life. But I didn't know them well at the time. They prayed over us and they said, I see a merging of explosion and excellence. Use that word, explosion, okay? And so God spoke that to us. He said, you're gonna grow explosively. Now, one thing that I've had to learn over 4 years is explosive doesn't mean immediate. Because I heard you're gonna grow explosively. You know what I thought? We're gonna be at 200 in 1 year. We're gonna be at 400 in 2 years. We're gonna be at 1,000 in 5 years. And here we are in 4 years, and you can look around. There's not 1,000 people here, but guess what? God's not done. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work will be faithful to complete it, even until the day of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if it takes 5 years, 14 years, we're going to see it take place, because explosive doesn't mean immediate. It means explosive. It means it can happen at any time, okay? We've been holding on to that. We've been praying for it, because God's not going to leave anything undone. And I think about the first two scriptures that when we first answered the call to plant this church, the two scriptures God gave me. Number one, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. My prayer has been since then until this day, God, I don't want to labor in vain. I don't want to look back at the end of my time and go, it was all in vain, because you did it in your strength. You built your house, Spencer, instead of letting God build his house the way that he wants it to be built. The second one was this. Jesus told Peter, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18, he said, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I've been holding on to that word, and I believe that storms may come, tribulation may come, but I know this, the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not overpower the church. So I want to talk to you about suddenly for just a few moments today. I believe that what God is going to do in this house, and I just want to speak from my heart for a moment. I'm so hungry for God to move. Yeah. I'm so desirous of God. I don't want to just have a safe church. I don't want to just have a comfortable church. I'm not saying I don't want you to feel safe, because I do. I'm not saying I don't want you to be comfortable. I do. But I don't want to just come in and we go through the motions. We sing. We lift our hands when it's time to lift our hands. We listen to the word for 45 minutes and then we go home. I want you to leave here having encountered God every time that you come here. And what does that look for you, and what that looks like for me, is totally different. All I'm asking you of this is, don't hold someone else's touch from God to the standard that you've experienced God in your life. Because that's what we do. Somebody starts getting touched of God and they shout or they dance or they clap, or maybe they sit down and they fold their hands and you judge them thinking, they're so lackadaisical. They're so apathetic. God's moving in this place. Can't they feel it? Can't they see it? Or maybe you're sitting back and they're in the altar weeping and you're going, I can't believe that they would act that way. God's house is a house of decency and in order. It is. What they're doing is God's trying to get their life to a place of decency and a place of order, but there's some stuff he's got to work through sometimes. So don't hold others to your experiences of we get so prideful and we think that, well, because God touched me this way, he's got to touch you that way too. No, God can move in someone's life however he wants to. But what I'm saying is this, what God is going to do in this house, he's been priming us. How many of you guys have ever started a weed eater or a chainsaw that you had to prime it, right? You push that button. God for 4 years has been priming us. He's been getting us ready for when he pulls the cord and he fires that thing up, it's going to be ready to run. It's going to be ready to go. He's been laying a foundation. He's been building the walls because God has been building his house. It's not going to be in vain. He's going to do it suddenly. But here's the thing that you need to understand about God moving suddenly. It will catch some people off guard. Because they weren't, suddenly, and in fact, I didn't want to scare anyone, but I thought about doing an analogy where all of a sudden someone like lit a firecracker in the back of the room. Like to show you how caught off guard, but I was really scared of what some of y'all might say. Like, oh, you know, goodness gracious, get that person up to the altar. They need to repent, right? I was scared of what some of y'all might say. No, I'm just kidding. But when something happens suddenly, if you're not anticipating it, now, a firecracker, when it goes off suddenly either way. But if you're anticipating it, it doesn't scare you. It doesn't catch you off guard. It doesn't annoy you because you lit it and you're waiting on it to explode. Hopefully, you're not holding it in your hand. You're going to toss it, right? I grew up, my grandparents own a fireworks stand, so I grew up around fireworks, and we would always see who could hold the firecracker the longest, right? Like light it, and it's kind of like, you know, playing chicken with a firecracker. But it will catch you off guard. And here's what will happen. I want to prepare you for the sudden explosion. Because if God said it and God's speaking it again, that means he's about to do it. But if we're not ready, it will catch us off guard. And here's what will happen. When something happens suddenly, there isn't room to prepare. In fact, John Wooden said this. He coached UCLA basketball for years. He said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. If you go, okay, I'll get ready. No, you need to be getting ready now. So I want to prepare you. I'm not saying that it's going to happen today. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week. All I'm saying is God said it's going to happen. So it's our responsibility to get ready for what he's going to do. And I don't want you to be unprepared for what God's going to do. Because what happens is when suddenly happens, people get bent out of the shape and they get frustrated. You know why? Because right now when you came in here this morning, you didn't have to fight somebody for a seat. You didn't have to park over in the gravel and walk to get to church. You didn't have to wait very long to check your child into the nursery. You didn't have to wait to get a cup of coffee. You didn't have to be like this when somebody else is standing next to you and they're worshiping because there's room, there's space. And I'm not saying that we won't try to accommodate and create more space as God moves and as this grows explosively as he said it will. But what I'm saying is there are some people that when God begins to move explosively and suddenly, what should be a good thing, they find something to complain about it. Yeah. Well, I didn't used to have to park all the way down there. I didn't used to have to fight for a seat. And what you'll do is you'll go somewhere where God isn't moving because you're frustrated at what God is doing. And that's what happens so many times. We think, oh, and here's what will happen. And I'm not afraid of this. I'll tell you what. I don't want it to happen, but it could happen. You could be so excited for a move of God, and then God moves, and you go, well, that's not how I thought it was going to happen. And you go somewhere else where God isn't moving. Why? Because he didn't move according to your rules, your standards, how you want it to be done. I'm telling you, God makes the rules in this house. Spencer doesn't dream up stuff. Pastor Lauren, the rest of the staff, this isn't up to us. We're just trying to follow God. Yeah. We're letting him guide, letting him lead because we want things to be done God's way. But we'll get frustrated, you know? You might get frustrated and say things like, well, I remember when I used to come, I knew everybody. Now I feel like I don't know anybody. Well, then get to know them. When new people start coming, get to know them. It's the beautiful thing. We're all a part of the family of God. But when we're not prepared for it, we'll get frustrated by it, right? The thing, I'll go back to the firecracker analogy. Firecrackers are made for joy. People are we light fireworks on the 4th of July or New Year's, right? It's supposed to be something celebratory. But again, if someone lights it when you're not expecting it, what do you get? Mad, because you got scared. That's why I'm saying get ready for explosive moves of God, because if you're not, you'll get frustrated. You'll get mad. Well, this isn't what I thought it was going to look like. But because I love you and I don't ever want you to become complacent, or I don't want you to miss what God's going to do, not what I'm going to do. I'm not saying, hey, I'm about to roll out some new way of doing church that's going to be weird to everybody. I'm just saying simply this. We're going to let God do what God wants to do. Either we're going to be ready for it or we're not. So you would ask, because you guys know I love to be practical and I try to give life application. How can you get ready for suddenly? I'm going to give you three things. You ready? Number one, live with a yes in your spirit. Before it ever happens, decide if it's God, the answer is yes. If it's God. I'm not saying you say yes to everything. That's when people get in trouble. That's how people get into debt. That's how people get into bad relationships, is people say yes to everything. I understand there's the power of no, and we need to be able to say no to the things that are not of God. But you can't say yes to God until you say no to something else. It's like Bill Belichick. How many of you guys know who Bill Belichick is? Bill Belichick, he would always say, he was a great, great football coach. He would always say, we can't win till we stop losing. Someone finally asked him, Coach, what do you mean? He said, we cannot win until we stop beating ourselves with penalties and negative plays. Mistakes and penalties. We can't win until we stop losing. It's so simple, but it's so true. We can't say yes to God until we start saying no to the wrong things. But then once we say no, we understand this. I don't have to say yes to everything unless it's God. Yeah. If it's God, I don't have to weigh it over. I'm not giving myself an option. If it's God, I'm going to live with a yes in my spirit. Determine right now, whatever God wants to do in my life, whatever God wants to do in my family, whatever God wants to do in this church, whatever God wants to do in this community, I've decided I'm praying God, yes. You say, what is it? I don't know. But if it's God, I want to be a part of it. If it's kingdom, I want to be in the middle of it. So I'm saying yes to it, no matter what it looks like. And here's the other thing, no matter what it costs. No matter what, that's why you say yes now, because if you wait, that's why Joshua, he told the children of Israel, they were about to step into the promises that God had been promising them for years and years and years. And before they go to the promised land, Joshua goes, wait, hold up. Choose right now who you're going to serve. Yeah. Don't wait till we cross this river. You decide right now. He said, me, my house, because he was a good leader. He was setting the standard. He was setting the example. He said, me, my house, we will serve the Lord. But you guys need to decide now. Why? Because the land we're about to go into, it's filled with foreign gods. There's other people that are going to try to pull you away from the one true God, from Yahweh, the God we serve. So decide right now. Don't wait until you're tempted. Don't wait until you are given the opportunity. You decide now, I'm choosing God. That's why I say, decide right now, church, yes. Whatever God wants, because you may come in here next week and you go, whoa, what's going on in here? But you go, you know what? I already told God yes. If it's God, if it's not God, I'm going to tell you right now, leave. Leave. That's what Paul said. He said, if me or anybody else preaches to you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Cut him off. I'm telling you right now, if it's not God, go find another church. But I'm telling you, as for me, for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to live with a yes in our spirit. Whatever God is saying, whatever God is doing. Are you willing to say yes to, let's go back to the analogy earlier. Well, there's no more seats, or there's so many children in the nursery. Are you willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm not normally a nursery worker, but I've been through Starting Point. I'll help nursery because there's so many children back there, and the new people that have come in, they haven't gotten to go through Starting Point yet, and I've experienced God. I've been here for a while. I'll go serve in the nursery. I'll park cars in the parking lot. I'll pour a cup of coffee. Hey, you know what? I'll join the praise team. I've been hiding. Some of y'all have been hiding gifts inside of you, like the guy in the parable of the talents, that he went and he got one gift and he put it in the ground and he hid it because he was scared. Some of you have giftings, abilities given by God, and you're hiding them out of fear. Don't hide them. Use them for the glory of God. Let him use what he gave to you, and he can do so much more with it if you will just let him do that. But you have to decide, I'm living with a yes in my spirit. You know, again, we'll get caught off guard by problems if we're not preparing the suddenly and say, you know what? I already say yes. Whatever God needs, the answer is yes. And I want to say this about this house. We don't do problems, we do opportunities. Amen. You might say, oh man, we're having a problem. We have nowhere for anyone to sit. That's not a problem. That's an opportunity. Oh my goodness, we have a problem. We ran out of coffee. That's not a problem. That's an opportunity. Oh my goodness, the parking lot is crazy out there. That's not a problem. That's an opportunity for someone to get out there and direct traffic. We don't do problems. We're going to do opportunities because we're going to say yes to whatever God wants. Now, here's the deal. I don't know when suddenly's coming, but I know this. I'm going to be here for it, and I hope you are too, and I hope that we are ready because I've seen God be faithful time and time again. So, number one, live with a yes. And yes to what? I turned my mic off. There we go. Yes to God. Number two, keep watch. Here's what I mean by that. Every time you come to church, watch. What's God doing today? Is he going to, how's he going to move today? Is he moving in worship? Is he moving in the transition time? Is he going to heal somebody? Is he going to set someone free? Is someone going to get saved today? Is somebody going to, are we going to have to call for a spontaneous baptism because someone got saved and they want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Keep watch for the suddenly. Because if you're not watching, you've been driving, and if you're not watching for your turn, you'll miss your turn. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, suddenly, being prepared. Keep watch. Watch. Because you never know when God's going to do it. Yeah. That's why Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. He said there were 10 virgins. They all had lamps. And they were all waiting to go to a wedding. And he said the bridegroom delayed in his coming, which is where we are right now in the world. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, he's coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. So we're waiting. So Jesus says, he delayed, they all fell asleep. All of a sudden, a loud herald went out, and they all 5 woke up, and the 5 that were wise had brought extra oil with them. And so they poured it in their lamp, and they lit their lamp so they could light their way. The 5 foolish virgins, they didn't have any oil. And so they said, hey, give us a little bit of your oil so that we can use it. They said, go buy oil. This is our oil. And they go to the wedding, and the 5 wise get in, the 5 foolish, they have to stay out. You know how Jesus ends this parable? Keep watch. Keep watch. He says, you do not know the day. You don't know the hour. Here's what I'm saying. Suddenly's coming. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. Here's our job. Live with a yes in our spirit. Keep watch. Just watch. Come to church every day going, is today the day? Wake up every morning. God's not confined to moving in church. Could it break out in your house? Listen, could you imagine? We always talk about revival when we talk about the church. Could you imagine if revival started in your house and it carried over to the church? Now, I believe that God will start revival in church and carry over to homes. I believe that's, but I believe that God can move and work anywhere where, as Madison said earlier, he's wanted, he's desired. Our job is keep watch, look for it. Amen. Don't miss what God's doing. Here's the third thing. So number one, live with a yes in your spirit. Number two, keep watch. Number three, praise and pray. Praise and pray. While you're watching, while you're saying yes, praise God and pray. In the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, we find the story of Paul and Silas. They were in the place of Philippi, which I think is interesting because it's the exact same place that Paul would write to later and say, hey, guess what? God started a good work in you. He's going to complete that same work in you. He's going to be faithful to complete it. But while they're there ministering in Philippi, they're going around and they're performing signs and wonders and miracles. They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this servant girl is following them. She's demon-possessed, and her masters have been using her to tell fortunes and has earned them a great profit. And the Bible says that she followed them day after day. And finally, Paul said, enough is enough. And he turned around and he cast the demon out of her. You know what? Everybody got mad because they realized their potential for profit was gone. And so they took Paul and Silas, they dragged them before the court, they put them in prison, and the Bible says Paul and Silas are chained hand and foot, locked prison door, and they're sitting in the prison there in Philippi. And time goes on, and it gets to about midnight. And the Bible says at midnight, in fact, we're going to read this passage of scripture. I believe I have it up there in Acts chapter 16, 25 through 26. You guys like my 90s stuff here? That's pretty cool, huh? About midnight, Paul and Silas, I grew up in the 90s, so I love the 90s, and it's kind of back, which I think is totally cool. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So what were they doing? They were praying and they were praising, right? And the other prisoners were listening to them. What's 26 say? Suddenly. Why? As they were praising and as they were praying, suddenly, there came such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. So, they're singing hymns. The Bible goes on to say the jailer, he woke up. It freaked him out. Why? Because it suddenly took place and he wasn't ready for it. And he responds by looking at the prison and seeing the doors are open. He supposes everyone has fled. He is about to commit suicide because the suddenly caught him off guard so much. Paul goes, whoa, 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 hey, we're all here, man. Don't worry about it. We haven't left. And the guy falls at Paul's feet and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm telling you, when you praise and you pray, it positions you for suddenlies. And when God suddenly does something, what you never even thought was possible is possible. Now, their captor is asking them for salvation. The one who incarcerated them is asking them for liberty for his soul. And he doesn't just get saved. His family gets saved and they get baptized. I'm telling you, when suddenlies happen in a place, God begins to move and things change in people's life. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm sure when they were sitting in that prison, they didn't feel like there was a suddenly coming. They didn't. Maybe they did. I don't know. But I just know there's times in my life when I'm not necessarily aware of it. But as you praise and as you pray, God will shake prison doors and break chains off that have been holding you back. I'm telling you this, there's been things that have been holding this house back in praise and in worship and in signs and in wonders and in miracles and in revival and reformation. There's things that's been holding us back, but as I said last week, God's going to restore what the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, all these locusts have eaten. God said, I'm going to restore it. There's been things that have been holding us back, but I believe that as we live with a yes in our spirit, we keep watch and we praise and we pray, sudden moves of God bring salvation. One of my biggest prayers is, God, I want to see people saved at the Well Fort Payne. I'm thankful for the faithful saints, or some people call them the frozen chosen. Y'all aren't going to be frozen chosen on us, right? I'm thankful for the people, you've been walking with God for 30 years. You've been walking with God for 40 years. You've been walking with God for 10 years. I'm so grateful for that. But I can't wait for people to come into this place and get saved for the first time. Filled with the Holy Ghost for the first time, baptized, converted, their life completely changed, like this Philippian jailer. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing this take place in our midst because suddenlies bring salvation. I want you to know this today. Your prayers and your praise are more powerful than you give them credit for. Yeah. One of my least favorite things to hear myself say or hear someone else say is all we can do is pray. No, all we can do is pray. It's about how you look at it. All we can do is pray. Like, that is such a hopeless mentality. Yeah. Like, you're not praying in faith when you say, all we can do is pray. That is the best place that we could be, yeah. Is where all we can do is pray, because that means we're putting it in the hands of the only one that can do whatever he wants to do. Always be good. I keep knocking this thing out. Give me just a second. There we go. All right. One more suddenly I want to show you as we praise and pray. As we keep watch, as we live with a yes in our spirit. And it's all played out in this. It's in Acts, the second chapter. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Thank you guys for staying with me. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, why does it say that? Because they had been waiting in that upper room. Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit has come. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let me ask you this. How did the Holy Spirit come? Suddenly. Suddenly, not immediately, because they'd been waiting. In fact, as you study this out, you will find that Jesus appeared to over 500 people and said, go wait until the promise. How many are there on the day of Pentecost? 120. Why? Because only 120 said yes to whatever God says. I'll keep watch until he comes. I'll wait. And what were they doing? They were all in there praying, and they were, in fact, can you put that scripture back up there for me really quick, Lee Shelley? Here's what's amazing to me. Actually, it's in another passage. I'm sorry. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared divided tongues as a fire, and each one said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. They were all together with one accord in one place. Now, this is a picture to me of church. This is why, to me, church is so important. You can say, I experience God at home. Praise God. I hope you do. But something happened when they were together in one accord. You may say, oh, I experience God sitting out in the woods. Good. You should if you're a Christian. I experience God when I'm driving to work. Good. You should. But there's something important about being together in one accord in the house of God. And here's something else I want to show you. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. Where does God come? To his temple. You may say, well, in the new covenant, the temple is the body. I fully agree with that. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I also believe that there's something special about God's people coming together in unity, being in the house of God and saying yes to whatever God wants. We will keep watch and we will praise and we will pray. One thing I've noticed, wherever there's praise, God is. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Wherever people pray, God is. Because he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He said, I will come suddenly to my temple. How many of you guys are ready for suddenly, sudden moves of God? Stand to your feet with me today. I want to simply pray a prayer of faith today. You're welcome to come to the altar if you're saying, you know what, I just want to come into agreement with what's being said. I just want to say yes in my spirit. I want to say I'll watch. I want to say I'll pray. I want to say that I will praise. And I'm just saying, yes, I want the suddenlies of God in my life. But I just want to pray a prayer of faith today. God, I'm praying in faith and I'm declaring that the things that you have spoken, the things that you are speaking, and the things that you will yet speak, we say yes in faith. God, no matter what it looks like and no matter what it costs, we say yes. When you come suddenly to your temple, we'll be here. God, when you come suddenly, Holy Spirit, with a rushing, mighty wind, Jesus, when you come suddenly to return to the earth, we will keep watch because we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, we don't know the time. Our job is to just live ready. And so we say, help us to be ready, God, because we want you to move suddenly. God, we want sudden salvations, sudden deliverances, sudden addictions broken. God, we want you to move in a way that we can't even comprehend in our mind, but in our heart, in our spirit, we just say yes to whatever it is that you're doing. So Father, usher us into a new season, I ask today. God, take us to another level. Take us deeper than we've gone before, God. We are praying and we're crying out just as they were in that upper room. And we're calling out to the same God that responded with fire to Elijah. The same God that parted the Red Seas. The same God that sent your Holy Spirit in cloven tongues of fire and with a rushing mighty wind. And we're saying, God, we don't want to be caught off guard by the suddenly. We want to anticipate you to move suddenly. God, we can't demand it. We can't make it happen, but we will be ready. We're not going to wait for the opportunity to get ready. Ready us now. God, prepare us now. Make us ready now. God, show us what we need to do. God, do we need to buy more chairs? Do we need to knock out a wall? God, in our homes, do we need to prepare in a way differently than we've been doing it? God, whatever the suddenly that you're going to do, we say yes. I'm asking you, if you're a saint in the Lord, would you just pray with me and just press in for a few more minutes and just, let's just say yes, God. Yes, God, to whatever you want to do. God, break it open. God, I pray that the things that have been hindering us, the things that have been holding us back, we praise you. We magnify you and we lift you up. God, we just say that you are awesome. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Is sometimes when the preacher says, hey, like, let's praise. Like, let's get the band up here. We're going to praise. Sometimes what happens is we just praise because they're singing a song. Right. Paul and Silas didn't have a band. They didn't have a keyboard. They didn't have a drummer. They didn't have a sound system. They just lifted their voice and they magnified the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. God, you are exceedingly and abundantly greater than we could ever even possibly imagine. And we declare in Fort Payne, Alabama, Jesus is Lord. You are victorious, Jesus. You have defeated death, hell, and the grave, and you hold the keys to all three of them. And we just say, we lift you up in this place. We praise you. We cry out to you, God, because we are saying that we can't do this. If we could do it, we would have done it a long time ago. But we're ready. We're ready for whatever you want to do. You ever had somebody just look at you and say, you ready? Like you're about to, you guys, you've been planning something, you're about to do something, and they look at you and they say, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. But sometimes you're like, no, give me a second, right? Like, no, hang on, I'm not ready yet. Like, maybe you're going to bungee jump or something. Like, you're ready? And you're like, I'm never going to be ready, so let's just do it, right? I feel like God is saying, are you ready? Yeah. And we're just, God, we're just saying, yes, we're ready. We're ready. And God, show us where we're not, because sometimes we can think we are, but we're not. God, show us where we're not. We're ready for the sudden move of God. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I pray in faith today that we would not miss what you want to do. God, don't pass us over. God, we want this for all of the churches. We're not just asking this for us, but we've got to take our post on the wall. We've got to say, here at the Well Fort Payne, we're not going to miss it. We're going to keep watch. We say yes. In fact, I want to tell this really quickly. If you need to go, the door's back there. We have a dear friend by the name of Chris Mitchell, and he went to the Brownsville Revival years ago. In the 90s. Many of you guys remember that. And there was a gentleman from, I believe he was from Crete. And whenever God began to move in the room, this guy would just go, over here, Lord! Over here, Lord! Like just trying. And Chris tells it, and it's just so funny because, like, people would just be sitting there. All of a sudden, this guy's up in the balcony just yelling, over here, Lord! And nope, there it goes. Okay, sorry. My bad. Technical difficulties. I want us to I know that sounds weird and that's strange, but I want us to live with our hearts just saying, over here, Lord. Yeah. We're over here, right? Like, here I am. The other day I was at the football field. My boys were playing football, and my mom came in, and you know you can see someone, like, scanning, like, where are they? And I just gave her, like, this wave. In fact, the other day, we were on vacation and we were in the pool, and my parents happened to be staying at the same resort that we were at, totally by accident. Totally by accident. Same neighborhood. Like, I could walk to their house in 30 seconds. I'm like, I came on vacation to get away from you. And y'all went on. No, but we were in the pool. My boys and I, we were throwing ball and just making everyone else's vacation terrible, right? By taking up the whole shallow end to play football and baseball. But I saw my dad's truck. I knew because I could see the Well logo on the front of it as he pulled through. And I start doing this right here. Like, hey, like over here, right? And then all of a sudden he honks back. And he told me later, he was like, hey, at first I thought some guy was playing volleyball in the pool. And then I realized it was my son waving at me like a maniac, right? But I'm just saying, over here, Lord. Yeah. Like, we're right here. Like, I know it may look funny. I know it may be weird to some people, but I'm not here to please people. I'm here for God. So God, whatever you want over here, Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you be prepared. May you live with a yes in your spirit. May you keep watch, and may you praise and pray and not miss the suddenly, not just that God has for this house, he has suddenlies for your life, for your home, for your house, for your calling, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much. Have an awesome week.